today on Life Talk.
See, our culture will try to numb a guilty conscience away. We try to drink it away, drug it away, deny it away. But the only way to get rid of a guilty conscience is to go to the foot of the cross where Jesus shed his blood and allow that blood to cover your sin and wash away your guilt.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Most Christians are aware of the armor of God illustration Paul uses in Ephesians 6 as it relates to spiritual warfare. But many never stop to consider how important repentance is in winning spiritual battles. Why would that be? Well, because repentance brings a clear conscience, which is totally necessary if we're going to win against an accusing devil. In today's third message in our Power of Repentance series, we're going to talk about how repentance is a crucial key to our boldness and strength in the arena of spiritual conflict. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, The Key to Warfare Victory, from our series, The Power of Repentance.
Now tell the truth, how many of you had to repent sometime this week? How many of you had to repent on the way to church? Don't tell me. But really, actually, I'm glad you did, because now you're clearer if you did. But I want to talk to you about the connection today between repentance and successful spiritual warfare. I know there's not a person in here that doesn't want to win the battle, but sometimes we really don't understand the tools God's given us. And we know all about the armor of God, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and all that. But we don't know about the tool of repentance, because repentance really postures us to win. And so I'm going to show you that today out of 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. And I want you to notice how Paul connects repentance, or a clear conscience, with successful spiritual warfare. Now he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a what, everybody? A clear conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." Look at that. A clear conscience prepares you and postures you for successful warfare, but without a clear conscience, we're in danger of shipwrecking. Isn't that amazing? So a clear conscience must really be important. Now, again, notice how Paul links successful spiritual warfare with a clear conscience. He's very clear about this. "Keep your conscience clear," he says, "so that you can wage the good warfare." And I wanted to show you, this is the way the Apostle Paul lived out his own life. Look at the importance he put on a clear conscience. He said, "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and men." He said, "I make it my goal, it's my resolve, that I'm going to keep a clear conscience vertically and horizontally between me and God and me and others. It's my resolve." So a clear conscience was really important to the Apostle Paul. And Peter exhorted us to do the very same thing. 1 Peter 3:16 says, "Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." In other words, you keep your conscience clear and you just live them down. You live your critics down, which is what I love to do. Just live them down. And you live them down by living right. Amen? And again, Paul writes that the very purpose of sound doctrine, which just means healthy Bible teaching, is to lead us into walking with a clear conscience. He tells Timothy again, the purpose of the commandment, or of the word of the Bible you hold in your hand, the purpose of it is love out of a pure heart, from a clear conscience, and from sincere faith. Now, let me tell you what a clear conscience is. It's very simple. A clear conscience is the condition of being guilt-free through the blood of Jesus, period. I'm not carrying my guilt around because I've taken it to the right place. See, our culture will try to numb a guilty conscience away. We try to drink it away, drug it away, deny it away, philosophize it away. But the only way to get rid of a guilty conscience is to go to the foot of the cross where Jesus shed his blood and allow that blood to cover your sin and wash away your guilt. And then you're really guilt-free, and that's a clear conscience. It's when I know I'm no longer in trouble with God. Isn't that a good feeling? Remember when you got saved and how suddenly it felt like a great weight had lifted off your shoulders? That's because you were no longer at war with God, no longer guilty before God, and you had made peace with God. And as we shared last week, when you make peace with God, you experience the peace of God. Now, there's only one way, as I said, to obtain a clear conscience, and that's through the word repent. That's the only way. Repentance is a beautiful word. We must repent before God in order to receive his forgiveness. And when we receive his forgiveness, we receive a clear conscience. But it all begins with repent. See, you're not saved until you repent. Most of you in here today have been born again. You know Jesus, you walk with Jesus, you love Jesus. And you know how that began? It began with repentance. If we hadn't repented, we would have never been saved. Repentance is the door, or the key to the door, I should say, that opens the door to salvation. You know, just imagine a door. Here it is. Here's a door, great, big, impressive door. And on the front of the door, it says, repent. And when we do it, when we repent, the door swings open and we walk into a brand new life through Jesus Christ. But it all begins with repentance. I shared with you in this series that the New Testament and its preaching began. The first word out of John the Baptist's mouth was repent. First word out of Jesus' mouth was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then Peter told the Pentecost crowd, repent, that times of refreshing may come upon you. Paul told the Athenian intellectuals, you must repent. God is calling all men everywhere to repent. And so over and over again in the New Testament, we encounter the word repent as the key that opens the door to the blessings God has for us. So repent is a beautiful word. Thank God he has given us the privilege of repenting. Amen? Aren't you glad when you mess up, you can say, Lord, forgive me, and you're clear? Aren't you glad for the ability to repent? Thank God he's given us a way to unload our guilt and enjoy the peace and the rest of a clear conscience. Now listen again to Paul's words regarding the connection between successful spiritual warfare and repentance. He said, keep your conscience clear so that you can wage a good warfare. Keep your conscience clear. Well, the only way to keep your conscience clear is to practice repentance, a life of repentance. I repent all the time. He said, do you really, preacher? I said, I really do. And don't call me preacher. Call me Pastor Jeff. I preach, but I hate that. Hey, preacher. Don't call me preacher. Just Pastor Jeff will do. Jeff is okay too. There's a shocker. But watch now. The only way that we have a clear conscience is to repent regularly. Here's the reason it matters. The reason a clear conscience is directly linked to successful spiritual warfare is because when our fellowship with God has been broken through some kind of sin, we experience guilt and condemnation. Immediately, a shadow comes between us and God. When we sin, when we mess up, we say something, we think something, we do something, we develop an attitude that isn't pleasing to God. And the minute that happens, something comes between us and God. There is guilt and there is condemnation. And here's what that affects. It affects our confidence that God is with us and that he's hearing our prayers. It takes away our confidence. Listen to what John wrote. John wrote, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. But now let me flip that. If we do feel guilty, we can't come to God with bold confidence. Amen. John goes on, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. So let me read it again. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. But if we do feel guilty, it robs us of our confidence before God. When we feel guilty, our boldness and our confidence are stripped away. And it's very important in warfare of all times, when you know the devil is coming against you and you are fighting for your life, it is so important to know that God is with you. You know, I've said to the Lord so many times, if I know God is with me, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall, I can face any devil in hell, and I can win any battle. If I know that God is with me, no wonder Moses prayed. He looked up to God right before they were headed into conquering and facing enemies. He said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us. I understand that so well. Listen, whenever I undertake something for the Lord, I say, Lord, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. I'm only going to go if you're going. If I know you're going, I'll go. But if I know you're not going, I'm not touching it, because I don't do what I do in the strength of Jeff. I do what I do in the strength of Jesus Christ, who is with me. I've got to know he's with me. But see, when there's guilt and unconfessed sin, then it affects my confidence that God is with me, because I know there's something between me and him. So in order to be warfare ready, we've got to learn at all times how to keep a clear conscience at all times and resolve like Paul to strive always. Everybody say always. That means at all times, it is my resolve to strive to work at keeping a clear conscience before God and man.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So how do we keep a clear conscience? I want to give you three simple ways. And I hope you write these down, because you're going to need it before you get home today. Amen? Here's three simple ways to keep a clear conscience. First, you got to repent quickly. Repent quickly. Resolve to never give an unconfessed sin a long shelf life. You know, isn't it funny how in the natural we know if I leave bread out in the open, unprotected, it's going to get stale and moldy. I know that. I know that if I cut my finger and I don't put something on it and I don't take care of it, it's going to get infected. We know all these things in the natural. But listen, what we've got to understand is, in the same way, unconfessed sin will work against us by hardening our heart and dulling our conscience. Yep. Without confessing sin quickly, have you ever noticed, if you don't confess it quickly, what convicts you today will hardly bother you tomorrow. Now, I'm going to say that again. If you don't confess your sin quickly, your heart hardens and it gets dull. Now, I came today knowing I'm going to meddle with some of your stuff, but I love for the Word of God to meddle with me, because when the Word of God meddles with me, it helps me to walk with Jesus and grow up. So let me move in. Let me just show you what happens when we don't confess sin. When we don't confess our sin quickly, what bothers us today hardly touches us tomorrow, because immediately our heart begins to grow dull and our eyes blind, our ears heavy, so that we very soon, if we don't confess, we begin to grow dull in our hearts and in our ears and in our eyes when it comes to perceiving and hearing and walking with God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the slightest whisper from God. Amen? Amen? Jesus talked about the deadening effects of unconfessed sin. Listen to what Jesus said. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. He's talking about the deadening effects of unrepentant hearts of unconfessed sin. He said, what happens when you don't confess it is your spiritual ears get hard of hearing. This is why Jesus was always saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That means you can hear with your natural ear. Everybody in here is hearing me. But you know what? It could be that not everybody is understanding me. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. That means if you've got an ear to hear, then may you also understand what the Word of God is saying to you. We hear all the time the Word of God. There's all kinds of people. I can look at the congregation on any given Sunday and I can see the people who are really getting it, and I can see people who are clock-eyed. And they're not getting it at all. They got other things on their mind. Amen? Jeremiah the prophet spoke about this all the time. Jeremiah was raised up of God to address Judah before they went into judgment. And he began to look at how they responded to the word of God or not. And here's what he said. Everybody is dull-hearted, without knowledge. All of Judah, they heard him, but they didn't hear him. They could hear his voice, but they didn't understand the word. Matter of fact, in another place, he said, you hate the word of God. You despise the word of God. So they heard it, but they didn't understand it because they refused to repent and get unconfessed sin under the forgiveness of God, and it began to stop up their ears and blind their eyes. Isaiah the prophet noticed the same effect on Israel due to their lack of repentance. He wrote, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. For the hearts of this people, watch this, the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. I look at America today, and I got to tell you, America looks so much like Judah of old to me. Because now America is literally outlawing the preaching and the ministry of the Word of God. It's starting right now in California. Right now in California, they're passing bills that make it illegal for me to minister to certain people. It's happening right now. And what begins in California, I hate to say it, but it comes this way. You see, there is a closing off. There is a shutting down from hearing the word of God. Hearing you will hear, but you will not understand. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The hearts of America have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Imagine this. You're standing by a sunlit window, and it's a very, very cold winter day. We've all experienced this. It's freezing outside, but you got a window where the sun is shining in. The air is frigid, but the sun is shining through the window, and it begins to warm you, and you bask in the glow of that warmth. And then you pull the drape closed. And when you pull the drape closed, instantly the warmth stops. Is it because the sun stopped shining? No. It's because something has come between you and the sun. The moment you open the drapes again, the sun can warm you, but it's up to you. The barrier is not outside. The barrier is inside the house. So when we refuse to repent, it's like pulling a drape over the sunshine of God's love and God's presence and God's blessing and God's fellowship when we don't confess. But when we confess, it's like pulling a curtain open, and God's love shines in, his word begins to speak again, and the fellowship is restored. See, when a Christian sins and doesn't confess it, he doesn't lose his salvation, he loses his fellowship. But when we say, okay, Lord, I admit it, I did this, I did that, I said this, I thought that, I went and committed that action, and I confess it to you, and I ask you to forgive me, whoosh, the drapes are pulled open. And the sunshine of God's love comes in again. And even though it is cold in this world, you are warmed by the love of God. Amen? In the very same time, we've all noticed that when you travel, the further away you get from your favorite radio station, the more and more staticky it gets. And you're trying to tune that thing in, you're trying to search for the same message on another channel. But that radio station is growing more and more staticky, more and more difficult to understand. But when you finally turn around and return home, the radio station starts coming in clear, loud and clear again. It's the same way. When we don't confess sin, God's voice gets staticky. It gets distant. We can't make it out because the fellowship is affected. But when we say, Lord, forgive me, it's like we're coming home and the radio station now is coming in loud and clear. I've noticed that when I repent, amen. When I repent, one of the first things to happen is I begin to hear the voice of God again, and mercy drops begin to fall again, and the fellowship is restored again, and I've got the peace of God again, and I feel like I could take on the world again because I'm right with God. And when I'm right with God, all is right with the world. So everybody say, repent fast. The second key to keeping a clear conscience is to keep things clear, both vertically and horizontally. Notice what Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience clear in two directions, before God vertically and before man horizontally. Now we fully understand getting right with God, don't we? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, Paul said, it's not just a vertical issue with me, but a clear conscience also requires that I make sure things as much as possible are clear horizontally with me and men. Listen to what Jesus said about this. He said, if you take your gift to the altar, now the gift of the altar can be you come to church to offer your sacrifice of praise. You're coming to be spiritual. You're coming to worship God. If you take your gift to the altar, but there you remember your brother has something against you. He said, leave your gift at the altar. Go and make right what is wrong between you and him. Then come back and offer your gift. Look at how important it was in the mind of Jesus that we not only keep our conscience clear this way, but we keep it clear this way as much as we can. He's talking about a clear conscience horizontally. Like Paul said, it's my resolve. I'm going to stay clear with God, but I'm also going to stay clear with my brother, clear with my sister, clear with anybody I can get clear with. See, if we don't do that, here's the deal. The same hardness that happens vertically when we don't confess before God and that relationship is affected and we don't hear him anymore, we don't see his truth anymore, we're not fellowshipping, the relationship is broken. He said, the same thing happens horizontally between us and others when we don't quickly make things right. Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly. Your adversary being the spouse you're in a fight with, the brother you're in a fight with, the sister you're in a fight with, the boss you're in a fight with, the neighbor you're in a fight with. Make it right if you can. Now, you won't always be able to because, and Paul knew this, listen to what Paul said. If it is possible, everybody say, if it is possible. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There you go. Keep it clear this way. If it's possible, listen, even if you think they're wrong, repent. Well, I'm not gonna repent if I'm not wrong. Why? They think you're wrong, and if it's real to them, it's real. So just eat it. Humble yourself and just eat it and make things right. Seriously. There were many times Kathy would say to me something that she felt that I did, and I said, man, I don't think I did that. But I would say, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And forgive me. You got to make it right vertically. You got to make it right horizontally. And you got to work at it. I strive. I work at it to keep clear between God and man, clear conscience. A third key and a last key is this one. Repent of things big and small. When I was a kid, I loved pocket knives. I mean, I was so into pocket knives, I had a million pocket knives because I was a boy's boy. I was always off in the woods hunting down reptiles, creatures, learning all the names of things and looking for fossils. And I lived in the creeks catching crawdads and I was just a boy's boy. And I loved pocket knives. But I really loved it one day when my dad got me a Flintstone. It was just this block of flint, and it had two sides. One side was real rough so that if your knife was really messed up, you could knock down the really rough edges on that rough side of the flint. But then you turned it over, and that smooth side of the flint made that knife really sharp and fine. Now listen. Repenting over the big things is like that rough side of the flint. We know we need to repent over the big things. But let me give you a revelation. It's when we repent over the little things that to God are not little, but to us they're little, but to God they're not, that really sharpens and hones our conscience into a fine-tuned weapon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.